this morning. Tonight, really, I would say tonight's message has a lot more to do with like an anniversary type setting for a church family. I think this is going to be an encouragement what God impressed upon my heart to give you this morning. Tonight, I'm really going to look at some very important things as a church as a whole. This is going to be more personal for you to apply, but we'll definitely have application for your church as a whole. So Luke chapter number 10, when you find your place there, say amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to read that, beginning of verse number 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Just a note right here, whose house is Jesus going into right now? Martha's house. Don't forget that. He's entering into Martha's house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Look at verse 42 very carefully. But one thing is needful. Those four words, I want those four words to burn into your mind. I want those to burn into your heart, that you would never forget this. One thing is needful. How many? Is it optional? Whatever we're about to look at is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. So this one thing that's needful, it's my choice. She's chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. God, we are so blessed today. I was blessed by the song, the fellowship already. God, I would ask, Lord, that your word would just be alive, open. God, communicate this truth to us in a way that you would be pleased at the invitation time. I pray all hearts, God, would be obedient in seeking you and humble, Lord, to just receive what you have for us. God, teach us one thing is needful. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was about 10 years old, I attended a gathering of boys that met in a basement of a church building now and then. It was called Boys Club. And the fellow who ran it, there's about six of us that would get together. The fellow who ran it was an Army vet. And he had war stories to tell. He was a lot of fun to be around. I got a lot of respect for him. He would teach us survival skills out in the wilderness, how to survive if you were in the woods and it started to snow, what kind of bark on the trees you can eat, what kind of mushrooms you shouldn't eat, things like this. You remember one thing that he taught us is that you can live for about 3 minutes without oxygen, about 3 days without water, and about 30 days without food. So I've never tested him on any of those things. I just took his word for it. But I was reminded of that lesson. You can survive about 3 days without water, and that's about it. I was reminded of that just a few years ago when the news headlines were hurling around California about two teenagers that had went hiking in the California wilderness, had gotten lost, and nobody knew where they were at. Search parties were looking for them. And eventually they were found. They were stranded, and they had been without water now for days. And when they were found, April 4th, 2013, CBS said this. One of the hikers, 19-year-old Nicholas, shared some information with investigators despite being dehydrated and very disoriented after being rescued. Rescuers said he was delirious. Now, he's in a very rough country, very rough wilderness. But this is how they described him. He was only wearing shorts. Somewhere along the way, he had taken off his shoes. His feet are all mangled up from the harsh wilderness, the desert ground even, that's messing his feet up, bloodied. When they found the other hiker, she said that she had been dehydrated. She doesn't remember the last time that she drank anything, but she says, I do remember eating dirt. I ate some dirt and I ate some rocks. I came to the hospital with a big mouthful of dirt, and that's all that I remember. Now, here's the point I'm trying to make. They had been for days without food. When they were discovered, people said they were delirious, they had no orientation of what reality was, and they're eating dirt. Can I just say it this way? Water's needful. Water's not optional. Here they are in the wilderness. It's not like you can go without water and be okay. Eventually, it takes its toll. Here they are without water. They lost touch with what reality was. Eating dirt to try to survive, it didn't work out. Thankfully, they were rescued. Thank you. Thankfully, they are now doing much better. But this is just a physical illustration. I'm trying to get you to see. We would never look at water in our right mind and say, it's optional. Yeah, we're making a big deal about water. I can survive without water. No, water is needful. Now, Jesus in the text says this, in your spiritual life, there's something that you need to agree with God. There's something needful. And if it's needful, it's not optional. In fact, if you treat it as optional, you know what? You're going to lose touch with reality. You're going to become disillusioned. You'll become disoriented as well. And it's going to have its effect in years to come. I want to give you some ideas, some warning signs, if you will, if you've been suffering from that which is needful. Number one here, out of the text, when you treat God's word as optional, when God's word ceases to be heard and God's word ceases to be obeyed, that's a warning sign, you've been neglecting that which is needful. So here's Mary taking her time. She's considering what Jesus is teaching. She's meditating on the word. She heard his word, the Bible says. But Martha wasn't. She's in the vicinity. She knows what's going on. She knows that Jesus is teaching, but she's just too busy for that right now. James gives us this stern warning in James chapter number 1. He says, "Is any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer? He has become as a man, beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, forgetting what manner of man he was." Forgetting what manner of man he was. When you and I can come to the Word of God and it does nothing, nothing's being listened to, nothing is being heard, and I can just go about my day, there's something desperately wrong with our spiritual life. But we can become so good at neglecting that which is needful, time with Christ, we become great pretenders at this. Proverbs says this, "He that turneth away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Martha, rushing about, had no time for the words of Christ. Please understand, she would never say that. But her actions spoke louder than her words. Martha would never say, "I've got no time for Christ." But her actions are speaking much more louder than her words ever could. If we don't hear his word, if the Bible's not giving us a reflection of who we are and what we need, something's gone haywire. We are literally trying to get through life neglecting that which is what? Needful. And if it's needful, it's not optional. I just want to warn you to beware of the barrenness of a busy life. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. What we need to say is be able to say, "Jesus, I need your word to be my personal mirror. I need you to have a proper perspective of my heart." Well, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha was too busy for that. While Mary sat and was able to hear his word, Martha had other things to do. It'd be very, very possible that you could be in even a church setting like this, but instead of hearing the word, what you're trying to do is trying to figure out what in the world you're going to do to make the checkbook balance when you get home, and what you're going to watch when you get home, and what movies you're going to be watching tonight. And while the word of God is even being proclaimed, or the word of God's being opened up, you got better things to think about, you got better things to do, but you would never say it. Martha wouldn't either. One of the warning signs that God's given us here from this text, a warning sign that we'd be suffering from that which is needful, is that God's word ceases to be heard. God's word ceases to be obeyed. Another thing that happens is we become content with a busy life, but not a burning heart. Have you ever met somebody and you ask them a question, "Hey, how are you doing?" And it's a simple question. Sometimes people say, "I'm fine, I'm doing good." Even if they're not, they still lie. And we do this, which sometimes it's okay. What happens, though, you ask somebody, "Hey, how you doing?" And they'll answer this, "Oh, I'm so busy. I've got so much stuff to do. There's a million things for me to do at work. I've got some things I need to get in order here at the church. I got to get things ready for the 32nd anniversary. The songs I need to get lined up. There's sermon I'm going to get prepared in a Sunday school lesson that I need to get prepared. And all the things that are lined up. I'm a deacon. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a song leader. I'm a usher. I'm a greeter. And all these sort of things. I've got so many things to do. And then to even suggest to a person that there might be a way that you could save some time, it's almost insulting to them. Yeah. To even suggest that there might be a way that you can maybe delegate some things, save some time, it's insulting. They become very, very glad and very, very proud of how busy they are. This is how they find life satisfaction. Just ask them, how you doing? I'm busy. And it's almost like they're complaining, but they're not really complaining. They're bragging. And that's a problem if you can't tell if a person's bragging or complaining. But this is where Martha's at. Come on, man. I'm so busy. This is where I am. But Martha was content with a busy life. She chooses a busy life. Listen, it was Mary's choice. It's Martha's choice as well. Martha would rather choose to be busy, to be content with a busy life, rather than have a burning heart. Yeah. Psalm still says, Psalm 46. Verse number 10 still says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You know, that's a great idea, God. I just got one problem. I'm just too busy for that. Now, we might not ever say it, but when that begins to show in our everyday life, we are neglecting that which is needful. Personal time with God and growing in grace, it's very similar to an oil change in your car. Spending time with Christ, it's very similar to date night with your wife or even exercise. If you don't have time to get the oil changed in your car, you're going to have to make time for an engine replacement. Right? If you don't have time for date night with your spouse, you're going to have to make time for marriage counseling or a courtroom visit, right? If you don't have time for exercise, you're going to have to make time for heart surgery. It's a choice that we make. Spending time with God, spending time with Christ, this is needful. But so often, we treat it as it's optional. Don't be content with a busy life. Consider your heart today. Perhaps today is the day that you need to say and be able to say honestly before God, God, I am sorry. Let's go back a second ago. If I were to ask you today, how are you doing? What are you up to? What do you got going on today? Man, you could tell me. You'd tell me a lot of things that's keeping me busy, but let me ask you this. When's the last time you opened up the Word of God? Is that another story? So how are you busy serving God? Oh, man, this is what I'm doing to serve the Lord. When's the last time that you just stopped and prayed? You spent some time with God with prayer and the Word. Now, if you can't answer that question, if you can answer the first question and you could give me a list of things that you got going on, but you can't answer the second question, you see what I'm getting at? That's a sign that you're suffering from this Martha malady. One thing is needful, and you've been neglecting it. What's sad is that the next symptom pipes up in verse number 40, where you see back in Luke chapter 10, verse number 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. Please don't misunderstand this text. Sometimes people say, well, I just need to stop serving God then. No, you just need to stop being cumbered. The problem wasn't that she was serving God. The problem is that she allowed her heart to be cumbered. And so serve God, but just do it with the right heart attitude. So here she is. Listen to this next symptom, though. In verse number 40, she was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Here's another symptom of a Martha malady. One more symptom that you've neglected that which is needful is you become critical of the Marys. This happens. This could happen in church. very easily that when I'm critical, when I'm not spending time at the foot of my Savior, when I'm not reading, when I'm not listening, when I'm not obeying, it becomes very easy to pick on somebody else. Now, remember at the beginning of this text, I asked you whose house they went into, and whose house was it? Martha's house. If somebody comes to your house, who do you think is going to be doing the serving? If you come to my house, she'll take care of you, right? I'll go get the chairs and tables, and Christy's an awesome host. But we have people over at our house. We don't expect the guests to serve. Come on, what are you doing? Clean the dishes. It's never crossed our mind, and yet we become critical towards the Marys. It's when we rightfully should be the ones serving to begin with. There's not a problem with that. The problem is always the heart's attitude towards the ones serving. You'd have two people involved in the same church ministry mopping up a floor. One guy's just there happy that he gets to mop the floor in God's house. And you got the other person mopping, wonder where everybody else is at. Where are they at? You got two people serving after a banquet. One person happy that they get to serve the Lord, and this is how they get to do it. Somebody else is critical over, why isn't everybody else over here helping? And these critical spirits can do a lot to really dismantle a harmony and a unity within a church family. We had one of our charter members, this is a blessing, one of our charter members, his wife sent an email to me, said they're no longer going to come to Centralia Bible Baptist Church. I say it facetiously, it really wasn't a blessing. So I wrote back, I said, can I come over and can we talk about this? And she goes, you need to talk to my husband about this. So I get the idea that if the problem is with the husband, probably not the wife then. So I show up at the door, knock on the door. Pastor, I'm glad you're here. There's my husband. So I said, okay, we walk inside. I walk inside. I sit down with them. Everything's very, very nice. A very nice conversation. Pull up a chair, Pastor. So sit down and we start talking. So your wife, he emailed me and she says, you guys aren't going to come to church anymore. Nah, we're just moving on. No problems, just moving on. So let me ask you a question. When you come to Centralia Bible Baptist, when you come to church, the Word of God is open, the Word of God is preached, do you not feel challenged? Do you not feel God convicting or helping or encouraging you in any way? Well, and he started talking, so I asked the question again. When you come to church and you listen and the Word of God is open, do you feel challenged or helped or convicted or encouraged in any way? Is God doing anything when the Word of God is opened? Well, you know, some guys, I like it. I like to go to a church where you might be in the book of Psalms one Sunday, and you might be in the book of Revelation the next Sunday. But, you know, last Sunday you wrapped up in Acts chapter 11, verse number 3, and I just know you're going to pick up in verse number 4 and kind of move on. And I said, well, that's called expository preaching. We want to preach through the Bible. But the truth is, I like that kind of preaching. But if I was a member at a church and the pastor taught topically all of the time, but I was convicted and my family was helped and I was growing in the Lord, that really wouldn't much bother me. So I asked him again, so when you show up, do you not, because I kind of had a hunch what was going on. When the Word of God is open, is God not doing anything? Well, eventually I found the button. After that third time asking, you know, like on shows where they're asking the guy, did you frame that person? Did you murder him? No. Did you frame that person? Murder him? No. Did you frame that? Yes, I did. At the third time, they finally like tell the truth. So the third time around, I ask him, and then he leans forward in his chair. He says, preacher, I am never going to tell anybody about Jesus. That's good for you and Jerry. That's fine. If you guys want to go out and be all weird about that and go tell people about Jesus, I am never going to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't care. I said, okay, I don't think you're going to fit in at Centralia Bible Baptist, but thanks for telling the truth. He became very critical about people that were witnessing for Jesus Christ, who he claimed saved his soul, which, I don't know, honestly, I kind of wonder, right? And people become critical towards those. I mean, here's somebody fired up in church. They even have the audacity in a service may even say amen. Bugs me. Marthas become critical, oftentimes, of the Marys. It's another symptom that God's given you. When you neglect that which is needful, you don't just become critical of Marys. The last thing I want to show you is this. You can become critical of God himself. Look again at verse number 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, what? Lord. She comes to Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, Lord God Almighty. She comes to him, says, Lord, do you not care? Whoa, time out. Second, who is she talking to? Jesus. And she asks, what? Do you even care about me? From cover to cover, if there is any attribute of God that's revealed in his word about who he is love. He cares. We can cast all of our cares upon him, knowing that he cares for us. If there's any attribute of God that's revealed in his word, it's God cares. This is very clear. But Lord, I've been working at this job, trying to make ends meet for 6 months, and here this guy comes on board, this newbie, and he's the guy that gets the promotion. I mean, come on, don't you care? I mean, I've been at Wooden Valley Baptist Church for I don't know how long, and I've been serving, been doing different things. I didn't even get recognized. It's the 32nd anniversary. Don't you even care? And this scenario plays out. But I'm telling you, you know what that's a symptom of? It's a symptom. You've been neglecting something needful. Let me put it this way. If I do without water, I become dehydrated. I lose touch with reality. The same thing happens spiritually. The reality is God cares. That's reality. But when I neglect spending time with God, guess what I am prone to do? I am prone to doubt and wonder about a key attribute of who he is in his essence and in his glory and his very being. God loves, God cares. But when I neglect that which is needful, I lose touch with reality. And then I even start to make choices and decisions about that. It's pretty awesome that there's a group here celebrating 32 years of God's faithfulness. But there's others who have left. Not because God wanted them to, but they just left because they had this Martha malady. And today they've lost touch with reality. God didn't care. God's not moving. God's not speaking. Sure, it would be great that another year, another 5 years, another 10 years, that a group of people could still be here glorifying God, praising his name, making a big deal about who Jesus Christ is. But it doesn't happen by accident. You need to choose personally to spend time with Jesus Christ. See, there's symptoms that God points out to us here. The solution, though, it's incredibly simple. This isn't rocket science. And at the same time, it's spiritual warfare, isn't it? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's Satan. He doesn't roam about looking who he can have a pillow fight with. We have an adversary he's looking for people who he can devour. He's looking to devour homes. He's looking to devour families. He's looking to chew you up and spit you out. And some along 32 years, sadly, he has gotten two. You know what's going to keep you from that? One thing. One thing's needful. It's not optional. And if that would just burn into your heart, it would help deal with this a prideful, and we don't look at it as pride, but in the morning, let me walk you through this. What would happen in the morning? I woke up, I sit on the edge of my bed. Well, yesterday was a pretty good day. I really don't foresee I got any problems coming up. I'm good to go. I can go down, I can eat my breakfast because that's needful. I can drink water in the morning because, I mean, that's needful. I need to look in the mirror and comb my hair and wash my face because that's really needful. And then I need to get to work because that's needful. And the whole while, I've been neglecting the only thing that Jesus says is needful. But in my pride, I say to myself, I really don't need to sit at his feet. In my pride, I wake up, hey, I don't foresee any problems today. I think today's going to be a pretty good day. I really don't need to spend time in the Bible. I really don't need to spend time in prayer. You know, I wake up on a Sunday morning, well, church is kind of optional today. It's not like I really need to go spend time with the Lord or with God's people. And little by little, we make choices that are really simply harbored in pride. Pride that says this, I really don't need God today. But if we foresaw a problem, guess where we would go to? Go to God. When you wake up in the morning, whether you're having a good day, whether you have a bad day, it doesn't matter. One thing's needful. Spend time with Christ. What would it do to your church attendance if you just began to think this? Church doors are open. One thing's needful. I need to be sitting and listening to the Word of God. Well, I'll do that in my own time, in my own private time. It's not like I need to do that publicly. Think about this with me. In this text right here, they were at Martha's house. Was this a private setting, just Mary and Jesus, or was it like Mary and Jesus and other people all around? This is a public gathering, not a church setting per se, but still a public get-together, and she found time to spend with Jesus' feet. I think it'd be a fairly easy application to say this. You should spend time with Jesus by yourself, yes. But even in a public setting, it'd be okay to spend some time at Jesus' feet. Maybe it's been an awful long time since that has happened. The good thing is, that's why we have an invitation. The good thing is, that's why we have an invitation. You can come, you can kneel, you can spend time at Jesus' feet. You can say, thank you, God, for waking me up. I've been negligent of that one thing of which is needful. And it's not optional. I've been treating it like that for far too long. Today, God, I want that to stop. Help me. God, have the right perspective towards your word. Help me have the right perspective towards the preaching of your word. God, I pray that you'd use me today. Would it be okay if your child was going to have a major surgery? And in walks the physician. He walks in and his hands are filthy, dirty. Covered in grime, got junk all over underneath his fingernails. He doesn't put on gloves. He doesn't wash his hands. He just says, hold on. This is what he says. Yeah, he drank water, which was needful. And then he goes, all right, I'm ready for the operation. And he intervenes. He said, come on, doctor, look at your hands. Well, it was on my hands. They're filthy. They're dirty. So? You're going to be operating my child. Go wash your hands. Do you realize who you're talking to? Do you realize the school that I graduated from and my GPA? Do you realize that there's nobody else in this side of the country that has performed more operations like this than me? Do you realize how successful I've been in the realm of medicine? Would any of that matter? Would you back off and say, oh, okay. Yeah, it's washing your hand, I guess, is optional. We wouldn't do that. But sometimes, listen very carefully, especially if you are a Christian worker, if you are growing in the Lord here, you're getting more involved, there's a danger that we can say, come on, I've been teaching this Sunday school class 3 years now. I mean, I got a college degree. I've been doing pretty good. Never, ever lose sight of the one thing that's needful. I've been doing this deacon thing now for a few years. No one deeks like me. Been ushering now for a few years. It doesn't matter how long I'm in ministry, you know what I still need? I still need to wash my hands. I still need, one thing still needful, it's time with Jesus Christ. When I neglect that, man, my attitude changes. My attitude towards other servants changes. My attitude towards God himself changes. I become content just by being busy with all the things that need to be done and accomplished. And I become content. I become satisfied with that. And all the while inside, I'm dehydrated and I'm losing touch with reality. Job says this, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job says, one thing's needful. It's even more needful than my necessary food. I need him. I need his word. I need to see Christ today. In the morning, one thing's needful. When you get busy, one thing is needful. Before you can be ever effective in helping and serving others, like Martha was trying to do, one thing is needful. Before you get up to teach another Sunday school class, one thing's needful. Before you take on another role or responsibility to help Wooden Valley Baptist Church, one thing's needful. If we forget that, everything else has failed. Everything else has become lost and dry and apathetic. But boy, what would it do on the 32nd anniversary if there's a group of people that said, yes, I agree, God, one thing is needful. I need more of Christ. I need His Word. I need to be around the preaching of God's Word. I need to see God and develop again, once again, the hunger for the Word of God all over again. Maybe somewhere years ago you lost it. The good news is God's still giving you life. He's still giving you another day. He's still going to give you another invitation. Why not today? Agree with God. God, one thing is needful. Let those four words burn into your heart, burn into your conscience, that there wouldn't be another day that goes by there you neglect that which is needful. Father, I want to just ask at this invitation time that each of us would be able to consider not how busy we are, not how we compare to somebody else. Let us lay that aside and allow the magnifying glass of your word to reveal where we are. Maybe, God, there's some here today that can just rejoice the very fact that they can't remember the last time that they went a day without seeking you in the pages of Scripture, without praying. You've transformed their hearts. It's awesome. God, I pray they'd worship you and glorify you even more. But then there's some that maybe on a 32nd anniversary, with the busyness that can entail, on a Sunday that's going to come around next Sunday and throughout the course of a busy month of December, they're already making plans that have forgotten you. God, please help that man, that woman, the mom or dad, help that home to remember one thing is needful. And it's not more stuff to do. It's not a busy life. God, oftentimes there's fruitlessness there, and apathy. And God, save us from that today. And I pray that you bless the Wooden Valley Baptist Church, these great people, with years to come of a fruitful and abundant ministry. God, joyfulness as they serve, joyfulness as they work. And it's not going to happen. I pray today they would choose. They would choose one thing.